Christmas should be a time of excitement.
There's presents, you might get what you want. Often it means seeing family, who especially with COVID we may not have seen for a period. And that can be wonderful, enjoying time together with people you love. Although, for some, that can come with worries of fights, because that's what's occurred in the past. It does mean time together. For the cricket tragics, it means looking forward to the Boxing Day test. And for the Australian supporters this year, the pleasure of seeing England struggling. Yet, however, for some, Christmas may not be so exciting. You might not expect presents. You might not have family around. Even if you love cricket, you might be an England supporter. You might have to work over Christmas. You might have thought that singing in church would be free of masks, and it isn't. However, for us as Christians, still, the birth of our Saviour should be a time of real excitement. As we appreciate all that God's done for us in Jesus, the restored relationship and salvation that Jesus brings, and as we look forward to Him returning and being in His kingdom, with Him, where the values that He stands for of love, of mercy, that means that at times we need to consider others more important than ourselves, of values we need to live for. To enter a kingdom based around those values. And as we look at the first Christmas, we see the mixture of excitement with things not quite as we might like or respect. Mary and Joseph have to travel just before Jesus is born because of a census. Now, that's definitely not ideal preparation for a birth. Today, people are banned from flying if they're really close to birth. There are problems if you're away from home of finding the appropriate support in terms of hospitals or midwives. It's something you tend to avoid doing. You don't travel. But Mary and Joseph have no option because of the census, which is thought to have occurred around 6 BC. They have to travel to Bethlehem, along with many others. And communication's so much harder. At least today you can book a hotel room in advance. But in fact, they can't find one at all. There's no room for them. There's so many people arriving for the census. It's like finding accommodation in a city hosting the Olympics. If you haven't been able to book, you can't. So Mary has to give birth in a stable, place Jesus in a manger. A place for animals is where Jesus is born. Not in a palace, not in the places that we'd expect, but in a manger. But he's born successfully. And we know the excitement around a newborn baby. Today, people send pictures as soon as they can after the baby's been born. However, for Mary and Joseph, there's no family around to celebrate the birth with. But instead, other people turn up. Unexpected people. People who are excited about the baby's birth. Who say the baby's more than expected. He may be born in a place only really fit for animals, but he's a saviour. Shepherds turn up. they're shepherds that have been herding their flocks, and angels have chosen to appear to them of all people, saying in Luke 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And this is followed by a host of angels singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. So Jesus is born in a manger, and God, rather than sending kings or human leaders, sends shepherds. They're not considered high in society. They're nomads looking after sheep for a living, coming to worship a child they say is the Saviour that Israel has been expecting. What's going on? It's certainly strange. Humanly, we certainly would not pick the nomads, the people with no fixed abode, to tell of a Saviour, a King of the Jews being born. But there's a clue in what the angel says. Jesus came for all people. He came for you and for me. He didn't come for leaders particularly. He came for the people who'd accept him. And that's what's important about Jesus. He came as a Saviour to people that need saving, that need restored relationship with God. That's why he came. He came to those that are lost, to those that have need. From the parents' point of view, they have a lot to think about. As verse 19 says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She wants to know what's going on. What of this child? She knows she's become pregnant without seeing a man. And now this. Meanwhile, the shepherds are excited. Those who hear them are amazed. And the shepherds are speaking God's praises. Verse 20 reads, the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. They respond to God in praise. The predicted Saviour has been born, and clearly he's there for them, as the angels appeared to them. And this is the importance of Jesus' birth not being in a palace or a place of human importance attended by the leaders of the Jewish world, but by the poor, the people of no abode. It speaks of what God values and does not value, who the kingdom is for. Those who should be excited are those who respond for him and live for him, whatever their circumstance, not caring for position or human recognition, but for his kingdom. Those are the ones who should be excited by Jesus' coming and the prospect of his return. But it's not just the shepherds who are excited at Jesus' coming. When Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to the temple to make the appropriate sacrifices for a firstborn, another man turns up, Simeon. He was old, but not prepared to die before he saw the Saviour of Israel. And he knows God, listens to his spirit, and that moves him to act. Going into the temple courts, he sees Jesus, takes him into his arms, and says, and verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon knows what God has promised. He knows the Old Testament scriptures, including the passages we've read today, speaking of a Saviour from David's time, a Saviour that will not only save Israel, but also bring revelation to the Gentiles, those like us who are not Jews. And it's not only Simeon who's excited, but also a prophetess, Anna, who became a widow only 7 years after marriage, was seen as not blessed by God, by the Jews, but as someone who suffered. But she comes, she sees, and cannot stop speaking about Jesus, about the child who's born, about the Saviour. She's excited about the promised salvation that he'll bring. And it's that salvation that Christmas is all about. It's about relationship with God, restored relationship, because of Jesus dying in our place to take his wrath. And it's about looking forward to Jesus' returning, a new, a better world, where the people in his kingdom share his values and therefore live for each other. So, whether or not we have presents and family to be excited about this Christmas, let's still be excited because of Jesus, because of all that he brings for us, because of the excitement of peace with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus has brought peace with you, and we ask that we'd know more and more of relationship with you. More and more of you in our lives. Jesus' name. Amen.